Immigration agents tackled and detained a man at a routine immigration appointment last week. Samuel Olivar Bruno had been living under sanctuary at a Durham church. Advocates say that immigration officials from two different agencies coordinated to lure him out of his sanctuary. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials say they knew Samuel was leaving sanctuary because his supporters announced it publicly days in advance. Tina Vasquez is senior reporter covering immigration for Rewire.news and joins us now from our studios in Greensboro. Welcome back, Tina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the most recent news. What happened to Samuel Olivar Bruno?
So Samuel is what advocates call a sanctuary leader, in part because he was part of a pretty groundbreaking coalition of folks in sanctuary nationwide who were learning how to organize and developing their own deportation defense campaigns as part of a group called Colectivo Santuario. And so for Samuel, the way that that was taking shape was pursuing deferred action. That's why he was at USCIS on Friday. He was requesting deferred action so that he could remain in the U.S. and take care of his wife. Officers in plain clothes tackled him inside USCIS, threw him into the back of a car, and then protesters and other people from his congregation surrounded the car for almost 3 hours before Samuel was taken. He's now somewhere in Atlanta, I was told this morning, a bit of new news. It's not a good development. He was at the Lumpkin, Georgia detention center called Stewart, and it seems that he was transferred to Atlanta sometime this morning and that they're looking to sort of expedite his deportation.
Let's talk about what USCIS is and why Samuel Olivar Bruno would have gone there in the first place.
So historically, USCIS has sort of been the services arm of federal immigration agencies, whereas Immigration and Customs Enforcement or Border Patrol are sort of seen as enforcement arms. USCIS helps people become naturalized citizens, for example, or it's where people go to apply for different immigration benefits. And so historically, they do not partake in immigration enforcement, but increasingly under the Trump administration, we see them partnering with agencies like ICE for immigration enforcement. And what happened to Samuel is maybe one of the most egregious examples of that.
And he was in a catch-22. As you say, he was pursuing deferred action status, but as an undocumented immigrant who had been told that he would have to leave, he was given a kind of 30-day deportation notice. He chose sanctuary, comes out of sanctuary to get biometric testing or biometrics done at USCIS as part of the process for becoming for the deferred action status. So in other words, if you're going to get the legal status, you got to show up. We're going to take your biometrics and then we'll process. So he has to leave. And that's when ICE agents were at USCIS, which is not their agency. And they tackled him, brought him to the ground, right?
Yes. USCIS isn't saying much about, actually not saying anything at all. They, I think other reporters are having a similar problem where they're reaching out to USCIS for comment about whether or not they coordinated with ICE. They're not saying anything. And this is something that's been asserted by Representatives David Price and G.K. Butterfield as well, that it seemed that this was a coordinated attack. And I think sort of the assertion that ICE found out about where Samuel would be from people who were helping him organize or because of public pleas he made on social media is pretty disingenuous. To enter USCIS, you have to sort of say who you are and say why you're there. When Samuel entered USCIS, ICE agents were already inside waiting for him. So how did they gain access to the building? Those are the questions that ICE isn't answering.
Well, let's talk more about his situation and his situation now and also his family situation. Our conversation will continue with Tina Vasquez, a senior reporter covering immigration for Rewire.news. That conversation will continue on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned. This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. We're continuing our conversation about Samuel Olivar Bruno. He'd been living in sanctuary in Durham for 11 months before being taken into ICE custody last week at a routine immigration appointment in Morrisville. My guest is Tina Vasquez. She is a senior reporter covering immigration for Rewire.news. Tell us why Samuel was in sanctuary in Durham in the first place.
Samwell is a victim of what advocates are calling silent raids. So under previous administrations, these were undocumented immigrants who were allowed to remain in the U.S. as long as they attended regular check-ins with ICE. So that was definitely Samwell's case and folks for other people who've been in sanctuary in the state who were later targeted under the Trump administration. So what happened is once Trump took office, these undocumented immigrants were almost treated as sort of low-hanging fruit when it came to detainment and deportation. All of a sudden, they would get letters in the mail from ICE telling them that they had 30 days to leave the country, or they would go to their regularly scheduled check-in with ICE, and they were detained on the spot. And so that's what happened to Samwell. He received a notice saying that he had 30 days to leave the country.
And tell us about that and why he was actually targeted and a subject of deportation. He had been here and left and then came back. So that was part of the – tell us more about that backstory.
So Samuel and his wife met here in North Carolina, and they went back to Mexico to take care of Samuel's father, who was very sick. When his wife Julia became very sick, she has lupus, and complications of lupus have to do harm her heart. She experiences hypertension, and so she was having a lot of heart problems that weren't being treated in Mexico. And so Samuel worked to send Julio back to the United States. And she became very sick and had open heart surgery. And so that's when Samwell decided to return to the United States. And he was apprehended at the border because he was undocumented. When you're undocumented, you can't leave the country and then return. So he was detained. And during court proceedings, he showed proof that Julia was very ill, that she had had open heart surgery. And so he was released from custody and allowed to be in the U.S. and had been for years when the Trump administration took office and he received his notice in the mail.
And as you say, been showing up regularly for his appointments with immigration officials throughout that period. And that's when the order was issued. Tell us about the impact now on his family, because he had been Julia's basically her sole caregiver. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, they've been together half of Julia's life. Julia was diagnosed with lupus when she was 15. She has had pretty serious heart problems ever since. There's a growing body of research that links sort of very serious symptoms that Julia is experiencing to lupus and post-traumatic stress disorder, stress, trauma, all of these exacerbate the symptoms that Julia has. And so for the past 11 months, Julia has really been suffering since Samwell has been in detention only 2 hours away. So I was able to sort of review her medical records and a letter that a physician's assistant wrote on her family's behalf when Samwell was trying to get deferred action, that basically said that her health was getting worse as Samwell was away because he was her caregiver. She was stressed. She was fearful that he would be deported this whole time. And so now that he has been detained and he keeps getting transferred further and further away from the family, Julia had a doctor's appointment yesterday. She told me earlier this week that it's her very big fear that she will get so sick that she will have to re-enter the hospital and that Samwell won't be here to help take care of her.
He is in detention now. He'd been in sanctuary for 11 months in Durham. And tell us again, remind us again now, he has been taken to Georgia?
Yes, he was initially transferred to the Stewart Detention Center in Lumpkin, Georgia, but I learned this morning that it looks like things are being pretty fast-tracked and that he was transferred to Atlanta, which is not a good sign. Atlanta courts are sort of notorious for funneling people into deportation proceedings quickly and very, very rarely releasing people from custody.
What kind of legal representation does Samwell have? He had some going into this, right?
I believe two lawyers have sort of stepped up to represent them. One of them I know is Helen Parsonage, who's based in Winston-Salem. She successfully was able to help get Minerva Garcia out of sanctuary. She was a Winston-Salem woman who was in sanctuary for over 3 months, who was also being targeted for deportation. So I believe Helen will now or is trying to represent Samwell in his immigration proceedings.
What about Julia? What happens to her now if Samwell is deported?
That's the big unknown. That's what her son Danielle is very, very fearful of. It's a big question mark. Her health is already failing and has been. I think this past year has been really, really hard for their family. And so if her husband and her caregiver is deported, there's no way of knowing how that will impact her health.
All right, Tina, thank you so much for staying with this story.
Thank you.
Tina Vasquez is a senior reporter covering immigration for Rewire.News.